Thank God again for granting us the opportunity, and I will say the privilege to come together at this time. You know, and we thank God for the opportunity of a long holiday, so we will try to take advantage of it. And also build it within our time of rest. You know, we've been looking at we've been studying some of the basic thoughts and teachings in the scriptures. We've been looking at our inheritance in Christ, and you know, the last time we were here, we looked at three of them. We looked at our inheritance as the priest, our calling to be priest of God, and we also looked at our calling to be the bride of Christ, and then we looked at our call to be sons of God. And we were able to see clearly that how it relates to our soul, what the Bible teaches about the place of our soul as a priest, as a bride, and calling to be the sons of God. For this weekend, we will try to finish up with the remaining four, the other four aspects of our inheritance in Christ. For today, we are looking at our inheritance as the dwelling place, or as a temple, or the habitation of God. And as we saw in the previous aspects, the three other aspects, there is always an opposite of this inheritance. You know, so when we, if we are not priests of Christ, then our priesthood will be unto Baal, unto darkness, and so on. And you know, and then down the line, as we saw in the previous teachings. So today we will open with. I've tried to break it down into about four or five sections. We're looking at the soul of man as the dwelling place of God or the devil. So we'll try and see that, what the Bible says about it, because that is the foundation of from where everything else springs from. And then we'll look at the soul as the habitation of light or darkness. So it's an extension, because we know God is light. So we will look at that other second level. And then we will look at the sealing of the soul with light and darkness. So which is the third layer. And then light and darkness. And then we'll look at Christ in the soul as a final application. That also goes with the fact of looking at the process. Christ in the soul, this is the process of bringing light into the soul. And then there is the opposite of that. That is the process of darkness sealing the soul. So it's all a planned program. Everything is all planned. And we either fall into the path of darkness, or we fall into the path of light. So you always have those two principal warfare that's going on. And this particular aspect, teaching, is actually the most basic. It is from there that you can talk about being a priest, being a bride, being a son. It's all from this foundation of the soul being a dwelling place. There is a basic thought about the dwelling place. When you look at the man, most times we are not conversant with it, but that is true. And it's my prayer that at the end of this weekend it will become more real to us. Man, or when I say you or me, we function at three levels. Most of the time we are not aware of it, but the devil is very much aware. There is a natural level, which is the body. And then there is the second level, which is a bit higher, but which is the dimension of the soul. And then there is the final level, which is the dimension of the spirit. So every man functions in these three realms or dimensions. Some people, if you talk to some people, they will use the word energy. whatever is pleasing to you, however you understand it. But those are the three major realms of man. So man lives, the body is natural, is physical, is governed by natural laws, and man lives on a natural earthly plane. And in his body also, the things in that environment also live in the body of man. So it's a dynamic. So man lives on in the earth, and there are aspects of the earth that manifest themselves in the body of man. So also in the spirit, you go a little bit higher, that's the realm of the spirit, because the soul, yes, has a, can manifest on the earth, but essentially a spiritual realm. So also in the realm of the soul, we are all in this room, but the realm in which our soul operates is bigger than this room. It's therefore in the higher realm of the spirit, which physical eyes cannot see. But you see, our soul operates in a reality of the spiritual realm. And that spiritual realm of the soul has environment, has its own environment. And the things in that realm also manifest within the soul of man. And then finally, you have this realm of the spirit of man. And you know, I was quite excited the other day when Brayago, he just made a statement, but he just excited me so much. I don't know if you got what he said. He said, the trees have body, they have no soul, they have no spirit. I don't know if somebody heard it. That blew me away. I was fantastic. I never thought about that. You know, so you look at the trees, they just have body, that's all. Plant world, it's just body. So if you look at trees and you say that's all that there is to life, that would not be true. So you come a little bit higher, you have the animals, isn't it? And the animals, they have body, but they have something else. They have soul. Amen. Then you come to a much higher level in which you have the soul, you have the body, and you have the spirit, and that's where man comes in. You know, so it cannot be different. Anybody that wants to equate man to animals and much lower, you know, some will call it lower earth. You know, that is the body. That is, you know, plants. It will not be true. You know, and our Christianity must go beyond those basic elements of just body. Body, everything ends with the body. You know, a child, everything ends in the mouth, you know, the body. But there's much more, you know, as the child begins to grow, you begin to realize that it's not just all mouth, that there are other aspects. And I think that's where God is taking us, to the point where we are beginning to realize that it's not all the natural earth body thing. The lust of the body, you know, the lust of the flesh, those are laws, those are pulls. You know, man must eat, man must do this, must do that. But there are other aspects of man, the real aspects of man, the soul. You know, also has, is where the action is. You know, for a long time, the body has ruled over the soul realm. For a very long time, that, you know, we identify ourselves by our soul. Sorry, by our body. You know, it's only what I see, what I can eat, drink, you know, all those things is what we refer to. You know, but Jesus came and showed us an example, what I call the resurrected life, where the soul energy, the soul life began to bring the body and the environment under control. We call it miracle. We are so excited, we are so outstanding. But that is the normal Christian life. That is the normal life of man, where the inward man rules over the body and rules over his environment. But he says, look, let us make man and let him have dominion. That dominion is the dominion of the inward man, of the real man, over his environment, and of course have dominion over the spiritual realms by the energy and strength of his spirit, which has been energized and strengthened by the Spirit of God. So we are not just plant, come and die and go, just like that. There is a spirit in man, and that spirit in man is strengthened by another spirit, by the energy of God. That is the very Spirit of God. So you and I, we have an inheritance. We can have that inheritance and not use it. He said that the children of Ephraim, being armed for war, what did they do? With bows and arrows, they turned back in the day of battle. So you and I can be so enamored, so our inheritance is so rich, but we end up not living up to the bill, not coming up, you know. But that is in the past, I believe, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So Paul said, therefore, living the principles, you know, of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Move on to perfection. So we are being called to move on to perfection. Anyway, there is something. Tribulation is making sure we move on. Amen. So tribulation is coming on the earth, and we are now searching for alternatives. You know, we are seeing that this earth that we love so much, we have to do something to. He says, get out of the earth, get up higher. You know, says there was a door in heaven. Says, come up here. You know, so I believe God is making it attractive for us to begin to look forward to this, you know, spiritual life, this place where the soul comes alive, where the soul begins to have dominion. He calls it milk and honey. They say land of milk and honey. I believe God is making it attractive to us. So we are speaking about this reality, you know, our inheritance in Christ as the dwelling place of God. And not just dwelling place of God for this year. He says he has chosen Zion. He has designed Zion as his dwelling place, as his habitation forever. You know, that is something that is so big that it sometimes it also make an impact on us. You know, so we are speaking of an eternal reality. That is, in time, we are not in time, we are going to go outside time, beyond time, and what we are speaking about will still continue to be our inheritance. Amen. So I believe that that God will, by His Spirit, break down the word to us. We'll look at the principles, and I believe that when we have the principle, we can apply it. We'll talk about the application as much as we can, but the pattern, I believe, is to lay down the word, lay down the principle. Then, when we understand it, we can apply it in our everyday life to overcome. The whole purpose is that we might overcome, that God might be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So that's by way of introduction. Let me start from the very popular ones we know, and then we can build up. So we're looking at the first one, the soul of man, or man as the habitation of God and the devil. So we'll take God first, and then we'll look at the devil's own ideas about man, about you being his own dwelling place. So there's the contrast. Somebody will call it Christ and Antichrist. So you have the two always running side by side. If you see one, you will see the other going with it. John 14. That's a very popular one. popular, but yet very profound. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwellings. Can we open it up a bit? Let's look at that word, mansion. You know? Where is that? It's a staying, residence, abode. Okay? Okay, go out again. So we are limited by Strong's. Thank God for him. Praise God. You know, so he says many dwelling places, many abodes. So just think for a while. What kind of house will God dwell in? We saw one picture of a very fine house on this laptop. Well, imagine, but can you imagine how many rooms the house you live in? How many rooms does it have? It has 2-3 rooms. So God will dwell in the 2-3 rooms that you have. You know? So can you understand what he's talking about? Say, in my father's house there are many mansions. So is this house that God is going to dwell in? And the scripture says that he was asking him, what house are you going to build for me to dwell in? You know, so obviously remember we gave the principle. You know, so when we think about men dwelling place, our mind goes to body. Is it not? The house for the body. The house for the body, like they said, the man, you know, no matter how rich, how many rooms you have, you can only sleep in one room at a time and on one bed. Isn't it? So you might as well have just one bedroom. It's okay for you. Alright? But can you imagine God? What house is he going to dwell in? You know, the whole universe, can you contain him? So obviously, you know, we know that couldn't be discussing a natural house. It's not just speaking about a physical body, because God cannot be localized. You know? So obviously, we have to push it further to the realm of the soul. Then it makes more meaning. You know, so he's speaking about my father's house, God's house. He's speaking about a spiritual reality. And he says, in my father's house there are many dwelling places, money. And other. Look at verse 3. I say, if you were not so, I say, I go to prepare a place for you and other. But let's go to verse 21. It says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and do what? And make our abode with him. Amen. Okay, let's see. Is this the same one? Open it out again. The Italian. Let's see what it will give us. The same one. We make our residence. Okay, so you think of your house. You know, this is where you always go to. So here he's saying God will make his residence. He's going to make his dwelling place with us. Of course, it's easy to forget the first part. The first part says, if you have my word and you keep it. So there is a condition to it.
Amen.
So it's not just open. Okay, there's a condition. If this, then this will happen. Amen. So this is a direct scripture that's telling us about God's intention. So my relationship with God is not just it's not just if I have needs, God meeting my need. His relationship is more than that. He's speaking about dwelling, something intimate that He wants to come and make His dwelling in it. And you know all that man is, you look at the soul, the different parts of the soul. God says He's going to touch every part. He will make His dwelling in us. Alright, let's move on from John. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:20. He said, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together and growing up, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So He brings in the spiritual in the component, which proper qualifies it. So we're looking at the spiritual dwelling place, a realm, you know, that is big enough to contain God. It has to be a spiritual reality, and He says that is our inheritance. Peter also spoke of it. So let's see First Peter. So this is Paul speaking about it. Let's see what Peter says. First Peter chapter 2. It says, "To whom coming," from verse 4, "to whom coming as unto a lively stone, a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. So ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." Amen. So He's speaking about a spiritual house, not a natural house. Amen. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. It goes, okay, let me read down to 9. "Wherefore also it is contained in scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Unto It goes on and on. So let me go to the next scripture. Revelation 21. So all this is speaking about man as the dwelling place, a spiritual house for God. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with man, and man, they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears." So their benefits shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. So it's getting exciting. Let's open up the tabernacle and see. That verse 3, I think. No. Open it. Let's see. What word is the tabernacle? Scan it. Open it. Okay, here it says a tent. No, go back. Just go down. It says a tent or cloth, a cloth hut, figuratively a habitation, a tabernacle. Amen. So it means to dwell in. So it has the meaning of dwelling in. So God wants to come in to dwell within. That's the word tabernacle. It's an old word for dwelling in. So that's what, you know, and it says when he comes, he will wipe away all tears. There will not be so, you know. So of course we from our experience, we are pressed. We have spiritual challenge, you have physical challenge, you have needs, we have this, we have this. It's exciting. So most of the time, you know, it's attractive to talk about solution to the problems. But there is something that comes before the solution. And that thing is what? The presence of God in the tabernacle will ensure. So he's saying, do not seek the blessings. You seek that relationship when God dwells in you. So if God dwells in you, the problems will certainly melt away. That is the principle. So he said, so Jesus can say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? And all other things. You know, so it is a wrong emphasis to put all other things first, because we quickly want to solve our problems. You know, so it is right to first seek the relationship. And what's that relationship? That my mind, my emotions, my desire, my heart might be God's dwelling place. Because I know when he comes, all other things will follow. Praise God. Let's go on to verse 22. Let's read 22 to 23. It says, and I saw no temple therein. Still discussing this New Jerusalem. There's no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. They are the temple of it. They are right there. Amen. As the object of worship, the reason for worship, the purpose for worship. And the city had no need. You can see the benefit. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it. And the lamp is what? The light thereof. Amen. So if the lamp is dwelling in the city, then the song we sing, there is a king in Zion. There is a king in Zion, the city of God. Amen. So if the king is dwelling in Zion, then his authority will spread over all the benefits. You know, so if God is, if the Lord is dwelling in my city, then there will be light. The light will judge the darkness. I don't need to fight with darkness. You know, I bind you darkness, I bind you this. You know, when the light is there, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness. So that is a more powerful principle. You know, that we should seek the light, seek the Lord. And as the Lord comes, every other thing will fall by the wayside. Praise the Lord. I think we'll take the last scripture under this section, 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6:14, we know it. So we will. It says, be ye not. This one is very powerful, because it makes very powerful statements. statements. So be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has what righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has what light with darkness? Amen. So he's saying, he's speaking about absolute. He's speaking about, you know, very definite things. Righteousness, light. Or righteousness, darkness. Verse 15. And what concord fellowship had Christ with Belial, or with Baal, or darkness? Or what part are he that believeth with an infidel? So a believer is light. Amen. Yeah, answer me now.
Amen.
A believer is light. You are light. Amen. Of course, the devil tells you, okay, but yesterday you stole from somebody, you did this, yesterday you did this. Those are not the issues. Amen. Because we're looking at position, we're looking at calling, we're looking at imputation. Amen.
Yeah.
So the fact that you knock your leg on the street doesn't remove. If you're a boy, you're a boy. Whether if you fall down, you're still a boy. Amen. So light is light. Whatever it is, you know. Hallelujah. So in the spirit, we're speaking about dwellings, habitation. In the spirit, we're looking at light. And let me make this statement. The soul dwells in a city. The soul dwells in a realm. You may not see it. You may not know it, but I think we are coming to the point where God is opening our eyes to see it.
Amen.
And to know it.
Amen.
Amen. And okay, let's look at the principle. How many of us know this principle of the city of refuge? You know about it. City of refuge. Amen.
Amen.
Good. It was a physical city that they ran into. So can I ask you a question? If on the natural plane God made the city of refuge for the man who is under, you know, pressure from the avenger of blood to run into, what do you think is the provision God had made in the spirit? Amen. Do you have a place also in the spirit where the soul can enter into and come into rest? Hallelujah. A secured place. Hallelujah. Adam was in such a place, but he lost it. Amen. And his soul began to run around, and the avenger of blood had access to him. Don't you understand what we're talking about? So we're going back into that city. Amen. So it's not just where my body is, but my soul is dwelling in a secure city. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. You know, Isaiah says we have a strong city. Have you read it before?
Yes.
He says, Isaiah 46 says, we have a strong city. Salvation with God appointed for walls and bulwarks. When we understand that, you and I will begin to dwell more at this. Amen. Can we see that? Just permit me to just go ask more. And then we'll come back. Let's look at, let me preach for 2 minutes, then I'll go back. To look at it. Isaiah 26. Now you're there. Because I need this one to build my faith. What did you say? In that day shall this song be sung. Eh? In the land of Judah. We have what? We have a strong city. Where is that city? We are looking for it in southeastern Nigeria. Amen.
Yeah.
So we have what? A strong city. Salvation with God, what? Appoint for what? Walls and bulwarks. And I want to say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will do what? Under the shadow. Where is that shadow? Amen. You look around, you don't see anything. Hallelujah. Look at it now. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, wicked people, should may do what?
Amen.
My soul is entering that city.
Oh, yes.
Is your soul entering that city?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we shall enter his gates. Where? Which gate is that? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We praise. We enter that city. So we are walking in Port Harcourt. There is kidnapping. They are doing all kinds of things. But our soul dwells in a strong city.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And when those people go to consult, they consult their juju. The juju says, look, there is a strong city there. The man dwells in a strong city. Hallelujah. So let's not go there. Let's go somewhere else. They will not see you. They will not see us. They will not see me. Why? Because I dwell in a strong city. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Okay, let me do another one. Let's do another one. You know, when the angel came to Mary, you are Mary. And the angel landed in front of Mary, she was afraid. You know? And she said, hail. Hail this Beatrice. Amen. And he says, something is going to happen to you. She says, what is it going to happen to me? He says, the power of the highest. Yeah. Will do what?
Will overshadow.
What English is that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. And your soul is that made, is it not so? So that means there's a power of the highest around you. There's a power of the highest around your soul. Amen. Whether the devil likes it or not, whether I believe it or not. The Bible said that as they enter into the cloud, they were afraid. The fact that they were afraid did not prevent them from entering the cloud. Amen. I'm afraid that I'm entering the cloud. I'm entering the city. But let's go into the city and dwell. We have a strong city. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, salvation will God appoint for his good works. Hallelujah. Okay, let me give you another one. I'll give myself, because I need it. He says, the angel of the Lord does what? You know this is a camp? A camp. Have you seen a camp before?
Yes.
Eh? Camp doesn't move. Unless the king gives authority. Amen. And in fact, the Bible said that as long as the high priest is alive, what's going to happen? You must dwell inside that city. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So say the angel of the Lord does what? Round about where? Hallelujah. We are speaking about the city of God. And we are entering, so we have come into Zion. So we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, even if there are breaches, we are covering the breach.
Amen.
Amen. Even if there are walls and gate passes, praise God. I have the authority to close it also. Amen. If I open it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going back to our, you know, we just digressed. We just moved out. So we are back to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians. He said, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? You see where it's going to? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said. Look at what he said he will do. I will do what? I will dwell where? In them. In them means mind. Emotion. You know, sometimes your emotion goes, you know, your emotion, are you like me? Sometimes emotions are not good. Are not good. Amen. They're bad. You know, when emotions are bad, it's very, very good. It means it's a blessing for emotion, because Christ must come into the emotion. Christ must come into the emotion, because I'm his dwelling place. Don't you understand? So I begin to open up my emotion. I said, I reject this emotion. I put on the emotion of Christ. That is the principle of dwelling. Amen. So if it's the emotion or your mind, sometimes your mind is a dwelling place. So you bring it and you reject the mind. You reject the Nigerian mind and you put on the mind of Christ. Amen. You know, so, and you are doing that because you have a right. He's telling you, say, I will dwell in the mind. He says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with what? All the soul. Is it not? So the soul is that offering. Okay, you are bringing. So it's not saying that, you know, you will not have, there will not be a crisis down there. But when there are crises, we know we have a solution. That's the practice. Amen. So when the crisis comes, we know where to go and get the solution. Amen. So I will dwell in them and I'll walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's a covenant.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you write it with God, you have a covenant with God. It's like Nigeria having a covenant with America. You feel big. Hey, America is so and so and so. How much more the God of the whole universe? They call him Elohim Yahweh. Do you know that name? I am that I am. Hallelujah. So that is say he's your God. He's the God of gods. He said, I will be your God. So that means if I have a challenge, things are not working well, it's an opportunity for Elohim Yahweh to show himself as God. I didn't hear any amen. That's what we're talking about. So when you have a challenge, the problem is not against you, it's against God. It's just that we push ourselves aside God and we solve the problem as though we don't have a God. We carry the burdens, we do this, we do this, we forget. But it's a practice that we begin to realize that says, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Is this something in the future or now?
No.
Do you believe it now?
Yes.
Are we applying it now? We do not apply because of unbelief, hardness of heart. So how do you deal with unbelief and hardness of heart? Faith cometh by hearing. I hear the word. Hallelujah. Amen. So the more you begin to water your heart with the word, the more that soul begins to respond to God. Hallelujah. That soul becomes a water garden, isn't it? Becomes a good soil. No longer a traffic. No longer the highway. You know, some Proverbs 8. Say, I stand at the traffic, the wayside. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, we need to work on the principles. Work on the, you know, to build our faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. The more you hear, the more you begin to build faith. And we can apply it in our everyday situation to overcome. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to the second part of the first part. We have looked at the scriptures are very clear. There are so many others I haven't touched. Those are the ones built on the ones we have mentioned. When Paul said, know you not that you are the temple, well, that has already been shown. Alright, Jesus told them, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He spoke of the temple of his body. We see the basis very clear. Now in God's mind, temple is not building. Temple is the soul of man. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's go to Isaiah 14. What does it say? Okay. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and then I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. Amen. So that is saying it's conditional. Amen. So if we do all that, then we can then enjoy this covenant relationship. In other words, the covenant relationship doesn't work when verse 17 we are not walking in it. Amen. We become frustrated. The covenant is broken by us. Praise God. Isaiah 14. We'll pick up speed a little bit as we move on. Isaiah 14 is the devil's own side. His thoughts about man. Verse 12, 13, 14. Say, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Hillel? Well, we know it's not Lucifer. Wrong translation. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground with this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt thy throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High. Again, this couldn't be talking about my 3-bedroom house or my 1-bedroom house or by whatever. You could only be speaking about his spiritual house. So again, it's the opposite. You can see it. Say, my father's house, and we saw that God wasn't just speaking about naturals, he was speaking about the realm of the soul. And clearly, the devil is desiring the same. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We know it is speaking about the people of God. And one of the scriptures that helps us is Psalm 48. Just show us Psalm 48 quickly. We'll come back. Psalm 48 talks about the city of God, the size of the north, the city of God. So it's very definite. We're not just adding it up. What does it say? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Where? In the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful. Yeah. Don't be annoyed though. This one is the authorized version. You are giving us the American Standard Version. give us the rise, not the American one. Okay, are we there? Good. Beautiful for situation. You see the problem? Beautiful for elevation. You see, is that beautiful for situation? The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the size of the north, the city of the great king. You see it now that you are dwelling in the city. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God is known in her palaces. For what? Hallelujah. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. When they send the Boko Haram, they look at it, they say, no, it's not your time. They run away. Amen. Okay, it goes on and on now. So let's go back to Zion. You know, so we know the devil is speaking about the same group of people, the same set of people, and he says, I will be as God. So the devil wants to dwell in the emotions. He wants to have access to my mind. He wants to have access into my emotion, desire. So everything God wants to touch, He wants to touch also. Why? Because He desires the same place, the same soul as His dwelling place forever. Hallelujah. So what that means is choice. But Hubert has been telling us about, is it not our choice? It is my choice that will determine if God has His way or will. Somebody says God is going to force. He's not going to force His way. I will choose. Whosoever believeth. Amen. I may believe, I may not believe. I may believe one third and down and down. Amen. So it all implies a choice. And as we will see, that choice is powerful. And then we have to exercise it with a great care and caution. Praise God. Shall we read the remaining? Okay, we'll see next. Alright. Let's go to Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Okay, it's about the same place, verse 12. So, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou stillest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was a covering, goes through all of them. Say, thy workmanship. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared indeed the day thou was created. The other we're talking about created. Amen. The other we're talking about created. The man that created must be stronger than the one that was created. Amen. Even though God is keeping quiet, allowing the devil to do fuka fuka, like we were saying, He was created. Hallelujah. Amen. He was created, but He exercised the choice. And He chose darkness. We will come to darkness. We will see it. And then we will see how it also affects us. In the day that was created, thou art the anointed cherub that does what? That overshadows, that covers. So let's think about it now. Where is He going to cover? That covering will be in the spirit, is it not? What do you find in the spirit? You find the mind in the spirit. You find the emotion in the spirit. You find desires, the heart. That is the primary covering. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God also comes to you. And where is He covering primarily? It's also in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there is war in heaven. Covering upon covering. Light and darkness. And the center, the theater of that war is where? He says, abstain from fleshly lusts. That do what?
War.
The war again. Can you see? Can we see that? I think it's the 1 Peter 2:9. Can we see? Amen. 1 Peter 2:9. I think that's where it is. No, it's down. Is it 12? Okay, verse 11. So, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Do what? Abstain from what? Fleshly lusts. We do what? Which comfort the soul. Amen. Because fleshly lusts, they bring comfort to the soul. They cannot. Because they are looking at darkness and light. Amen. So the man is in this room physically. But in his soul realm, there is a civil war going on. Amen. There is war in heaven. Amen. The covering, the overshadowing of darkness is upon the soul. There's a song that was coming to me the other day. We know it. Sometimes a light surprises a Christian while he prays. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. Amen. Hallelujah. So the darkness is there, but the light comes. Hallelujah. And it is the healing that comes. Hallelujah. Amen. So brethren, we should understand ourselves. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves. Amen. We should understand what's going on. That there is war in heaven. And now heaven is the heaven of our soul. But there is good news. Say there was no more space found.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let me stop there. We're not there yet. Amen. So we must follow it to the end. Say there was space found.
No more.
Hallelujah. So there's a heaven within us. That heaven is not yet perfect. There are creators. There is an invasion. Somebody wants it. He says, I must have it. And he's invading. Amen. Sometimes we help and we submit because our soul is tied to the darkness. Don't you understand? Our soul is tied down to it. And therefore, the darkness has upper hand. Amen. So, he's talking about it here. Let's go back to Ezekiel 28. Okay. Okay, let's move it. Let's go on to the next one. 2 Thessalonians 4:2-4. We're running out of time, but it's necessary foundation so that we can run faster. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Are we there? You are there. I'm not there yet. Okay. All right. Let's read that one. It says, "Who opposeth and exalted himself," you see it, "above all that is called God or worship, so that he as God seated in my soul." Because that's my temple of God, is it not? Is that correct? So that he as God seated where? Within me. Doing what? Showing himself. Acting like God. The Antichrist spirit. Amen. So you can see it all goes together. So we can see, looking at these scriptures, that there is a very clear, this is the groundwork. Alright? That it's not just me being a doctor, doing this, doing that. There is something behind. That in my whole purpose, not just getting up today, eat, go to work, come back. There is something behind it. What is behind my going to work, my eating, my marrying? What is behind it? That's what we are looking at. That God desires to dwell in me. But the devil is opposing that. He says, I will also dwell. Amen. Amen. So at the sum total, say, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. This is not the Ecclesiastes. This is not what he says. What is the whole duty of man? Just show it to us, and let's just see it quickly, flash it. We see it and then we'll pass on. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now. Okay, Zubai 12. God bless you. Let's go. They say let's go down. Where is it now? Verse 12. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? Fear God and do what? Keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Somebody is your very fellowship, fellowship. Yes, fellowship, fellowship. That is the conclusion of the matter. So you see, I came to this side, every day fellowship. That is it. So if anybody says it, just quote this one. Amen. Every day fellowship. I got the bracket, fellowship. Every day fellowship. Amen. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. Hallelujah. When I'm going to walk fellowship, I am on the road fellowship. Amen. And that fellowship, that fearing God, is that I might escape the devil. Because the devil wants me to fear him also, to keep his commandments and be his dwelling place. Amen. But I have a choice. Amen. So as many as receive him, to them he did what? He gave the exousia. It means the power. Hallelujah. To do what? Become the sons of God. How does the power come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. Amen. Because by faith, the elders, our senior brothers, they obtain a good report. They want a good report by faith. How do you get faith? Faith coming by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Amen. So that means hearing the word must be the foundation of my life. Hearing the word. I mean, you're having your back, and the Lord said to Moses, you must get it and put it there. Amen. You are cooking, and the Lord said to Moses, you are driving, and the Lord said to Moses, we have technology, use it. Amen. And so if you are using technology, the technology people, when you go there, fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. So my brothers are smiling. Well, praise God for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, our time is running. Let's go to the second part. The second part of the message, we're looking at the soul as the habitation of light and darkness. You understand? Because we have seen God and the devil. I've seen the two foundations. So we can now put one block on top. Alright, and that block is what? Light and darkness. Okay, 1 John verse 1 and 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. You know, that's why I like the Bible. You know, everything is complete. No, there's no corner. You know, it's not hiding anything. It's direct. What's the direct here? And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. That what? That God is trying to shall be, was, is, I am. God, I am. That's what he's telling you. God is light. And his light is so bright that what? There is no darkness at all. So it's 100% light. So if you love light, you go to God. Because you can have 100% light. Hallelujah. So even if I have 1% light, thank God for 100%. So I'm pressing forward for 100%. Amen. And he says, okay, let's read the next one. So make it let's write that one now. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah 60. I'm jumping. But when the Spirit of God jumps, I will jump and follow. Okay, let's look at it. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. Amen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. It doesn't stop there. Look at it. And the Gentiles, the Boko Haram, and all the people, those are the Gentiles, they shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. It's not God now. God has risen already. So this is you rising.
Hallelujah.
We are rising. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is light business. Amen. Somebody has 100% light. I am coming from darkness. Don't you understand? So as I'm coming, he is enlightening the soul. So the soul is rising. It says, the path of the righteous. Can you show it to us? Proverbs 4:18. So the path of the righteous is like what? You must know this light matter. You can write it down if you are not familiar with it. Say, but the path, you see, there is a path of the soul. The soul walks in path. I want you to understand how it has a highway. Somebody says, we will walk along the king's highway. We will not enter left. We will not go in that right. The soul walks in pathways. When you get born again, you go from the kingdom of light, of darkness. That means you remove from the path of darkness and you enter the path of light. Hallelujah. What happens? But the path of the just soul, amen, is what? Is as a shining light. That does what? Brighter, more and more. Where I am today, I am not going to be tomorrow.
Amen.
My light is 10% today. By the time that same devil comes, it is 20%. So he pushed me down at 10%. Praise God. I am not discouraged because I have 10%. When I get up, I'm going to run fast to go to 20%. Hallelujah. When it comes at 20, say, ah, this man is getting stronger, he will push me down again, no problem. I run to 30%. Then one day I will get to 90%.
Amen.
When he comes, say, ah. You know, when you have some boys, you used to beat up. Every day you beat them up. Every day you beat them up. One day when you don't say, hey, Oga, hit them up. Amen. That means that they have grown to 90%. You say, oh boy, childhood has grown up. You know that free beating has ended. I want to tell you that free beating is about to end. The devil beats us up. Every day he comes to beat us. Do you know why? Because our light is still rising. It's still rising. Amen. Although it's not always rising, though, because there is a place where it must have risen. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we get there, the devil will not be able to beat us again. Because we have enough light.
Hallelujah.
Within our soul to drive him out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's go back. So the scripture is teaching us about light. So when God comes into the soul, it is light coming. It's light coming. It's light coming into the soul. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We will see that thought then. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Grammar changes. Amen. From verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Let's go to verse 9. That was the true light. Which does what? Which lighted every man that does what? Comes into the world. That supposes that when the man comes into the world, darkness is there. Amen. So the darkness is in the soul, because the devil is the king of darkness. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 8. We're in John now, so let's just go down the road to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, 44. What does this say? John 8, 44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Why would you do the lust of your father? Because it's inside. Don't you understand? It's inside. It's the spirit that is ruling the soul. Amen. Look at what Jesus was saying. He was a murderer. Where? From the beginning. I like the next one. And abode not. Is that grammar? And abode not. Where? In the truth. So in other words, from the beginning, he abode not in the truth. That means from the beginning he was in darkness. Hallelujah. Because there is no truth in him. Is it like the opposite? He said, God is light. In him is no darkness. Then you flip it. He said, one is abode not in the truth. And there is what? No truth in him. Amen. So the game is complete. Hallelujah. So when you have darkness, no truth, no light. At the other end, you have light, no darkness. Amen. But the good news is that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. If we yield to the light, if we support the light. Amen. Look at it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar. And what? The father, the origin of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the thing is well spread out, very very clear. There's no in between. We don't need to wish something was said. Everything is all set out. Amen. So we can confidently push it to the next level, and we're looking at the situation of the soul. You know, God and light. The devil and darkness, all struggling for the same soul. Who will win? Who will have the upper hand? Praise the Lord. Revelation 12. Our time is racing, so we'll try to race. Revelation 12:7-12. I like this one. And you know, for a long time, I loved this scripture. It was not in my thinking. It didn't come. But God brought it back. And I would like it to come back to us if you have lost touch with it. See, and there was where? War in heaven. We know which heaven now. Amen. There is war in the heaven. Of course, we have told us about the first heaven. This one. Amen. Then the second heaven certainly is the one in our soul. In the third heaven, there cannot be war there. Amen. Because the heaven of heaven does what? Belongs to God. Hallelujah. So in the heavens of heaven, There's no war there. It's the physical one. Sometimes Nigerian fighters are flying around, throwing bombs. So there's war there. But the real war is what? In the second heaven. Because Christ and Antichrist, light and darkness, they are contending within our soul. But look at it. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Amen. Now, the dragon cannot be everywhere at the same time. That's the limitation, which sometimes we don't remember. But the devil cannot be everywhere. It can only be in one place at one time. Amen. Say amen now. It cannot be everywhere because it's not omnipresent. Hallelujah. The God is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. And the dragon fought and his angels. Can we read the verse 9, 8, 8 together? And prevailed not. There are many reasons why he prevailed not. He cannot be in every soul at the same time. Don't you understand? The devil cannot be in your soul and in my other soul. He can only be in one soul at one time. Hallelujah. Would you like to say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Why? And the devil entered into Judas, is it not?
Yes.
He entered. He wasn't there before. He entered. Satan entered. Hallelujah. He has not entered my soul.
Amen.
I can never enter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he's fighting a losing battle. And he's already prophesied from the beginning. He said, he that speaks to the end from the beginning.
Yes, amen.
That's what Balak said. Say, he should open his eyes. I see him. That speaks to the end from the beginning. This is it. He says, and he prevailed not. Amen. Neither was their place found any more in my emotion, my desire, my will in heaven. Hallelujah. Like Sister Uzi said, if we touch not the opportunity, if we separate, if we submit, that is going to happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the great dragon was what? Cast out. That. So again, you watch the word, it's making sure, it's covering every ground, nothing is left to doubt, to anybody to say anything. Who is the devil? We know who he is. He's defined. Again, that great dragon. That old serpent. The serpent of Genesis 3. Which one again? Call the devil and Satan. So he has covered him so that they have been described and given. He can't hide. Amen. We deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth.
Amen.
Amen. And his angels are cast out. In other words, you know, part of what the sons of God who are coming into maturity should be doing is that we must realize that you and I, we have a commission. My commission is not to be a champion of the world. My commission is to drive out this darkness from the realm of my heaven. That is my life commission. Amen. No, like Brother Bob to say, nobody will till my ground for me. He said when he was a farmer, every farmer will go and till his own ground. You understand? When rain is falling, you guys start tilling your friends. So first, you till your own ground. And right now, rain is falling. Don't you understand?
Amen.
And it is time to what?
Till
the ground, fight with the devil, and cast him out.
Amen.
The Bible says it is our responsibility to cast him out.
Amen.
Amen. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. What is the principle of casting out the devil? Bring light in. Amen. That's the principle. Not even the devil abide you. Abide you. Let the light come in.
Hallelujah.
Let the light shine brighter. Let the soul walk along that pathway of righteousness. Says the highway of the upright is what? To depart from sin. Who knows that scripture? Yeah, well, do you remember the scripture? It's not a proverb. Say the pathway, the highway of the righteous is to depart from hell beneath and to look upward, something upward. Amen. That's our job. That's our role. Amen. All right. I'm going to jump to the third one. Now we're looking at the sealing of the soul with light and darkness. That's the third level we're coming to. That one cannot be taken this night. We're only going to touch it and summarize it. Because it's very, that one is very, very broad. But we will touch it sufficiently before we can go. I call it the marking of the soul. You understand? This is the marking, the engraving, the stamping of the soul. Don't you understand? Amen. So remember, you see how we are coming. The soul can have light or darkness, whichever one it chooses. Amen. So you must separate the soul from darkness. Then you must separate the soul and darkness from dark natured spirits that feed upon the soul. I don't know, are we together? I will say amen now if you are together with me. Yeah. Sister Athena is shaking the head. Okay, praise God. The soul is different from darkness and light. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, light is power, energy. There are spirits that like that feed on the light. Spirits that have the nature of God. Amen. There are spirits that feed on darkness as an energy also. Amen. So the soul is there, the darkness is there, and then there are dark nature spirits that feed on the darkness. Amen. Say amen. Okay. Okay, let's go to Psalm 45. I think it's verse 6 or 7. Come down. Verse 7. It says, thou lovest righteousness and does what? Hated wickedness. That's part of what we're talking about. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with what? Oil above thy fellows. So he's speaking about the natures, the loving of righteousness and hating of wickedness. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. It says, out of the ground may the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, They said the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil also in the garden. Why would two of them be there? Because the soul had to choose. The soul was a living soul. They had to choose. Amen. The tree of life. It says in him was life. And that life was what? The light of men. Amen. And then you had another one. The tree of good and evil. But God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that this tree, this second one, cannot be good. It has to be darkness. Amen. So right at the beginning, the soul has to contend, has to choose either light or darkness. Amen. What did Adam choose? So darkness invaded his soul. Amen.
Amen.
That's the beginning. So darkness invaded the soul. And this darkness was a tree. Is it tree? A tree means it will grow. Is that correct? Where is the darkness growing? Within the soul. Hallelujah. So 1960 is not the same as 2017. Today I was driving. I almost fainted in my car. Somebody faced me. And he began to do something. I won't tell you what he was doing. I couldn't believe it. I almost... He faced the road. The other day, I came out from my office. I was going to enter my car. I saw one student by the shrub. So what are you doing there? I said, I'm easing myself. I said, is that your toilet? He said, no, sir. I said, if I catch you there, he said, sorry, sir, I'm right away. What is that? Amen. The darkness that is growing. It's growing. Amen. So that means it is more work for me and you. Because the devil and the evil is working, is overspreading itself, you know. Jordan is overflowing the bands. Hallelujah. Say amen. So we're looking at the principle that in the beginning there was darkness, it was not yet in the soul. Is that correct? Verse 9, the darkness was still outside the soul, it hasn't entered. But it was a reality, it was a possibility. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3. Of course, Genesis 3 tells us about the invasion of darkness into the soul. Amen. And if we go back to Isaiah 12 to Ezekiel 28, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, what does that mean? The darkness that entered wants to dwell in the soul permanently. Amen. It wants to enter the soul and dwell there, build. And then when we look at to see that, you look at the scripture like Ezekiel chapter 8. What does it say? Just show us Ezekiel chapter 8. He told him to dig in the wall. And when he dug in the wall, what happened? He saw a hole. But when he entered the hole, what did he see? He saw a big opening. And not just opening, he saw on the walls images of creeping things, four-footed beasts, all manner of unclean birds. How did they get into the wall? And by the way, what is what? What is the flesh? When the Bible talks about flesh, it's not talking about body, it's talking about the nature of the soul. That is flesh. Amen. The nature of the soul that is unchanged, unregenerated, that's flesh. Not submissive. So the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. That's the flesh. Hallelujah. So, the scripture is telling us that this darkness that enters the soul wants to dwell in the soul permanently. And it's spreading. It's what building itself in. Amen. So when God meets Abraham a few chapters down the road, what do you think he will tell Abraham? Abraham, get thee out of what? Of thy family. The family spirit that have buried themselves into his nature. Generation. This is Abraham. We are many centuries down the road. So it means that the spirits have buried, the darkness has marked. That's what the Bible calls the mark of the beast, the beastly nature. Anyway, it's buried in. And it tells him, come out of your tribe and then come out of your country. Those are three levels of spirits that have, of darkness, that have buried themselves within. Amen. And which need to be dealt with. Let's go back to that Isaiah 60. We are looking at the principle that darkness. What is he saying? If I don't pray today, I find it difficult to pray today. And 24 hours passes. Tomorrow, it will be more difficult to pray. Today pass, tomorrow pass. The third day, it's coming to a halt. 4 days, you have not touched your Bible. But you know all the WhatsApp pages, you are current. No problem. The soul is going deep, deep down. That's what he's saying here. Okay, look at it. Let's read it. For behold, verse 2, the darkness shall do what? Cover the soul. The earth there is the soul, spring of the root of the soul. And what? Gross darkness. So he's telling you, darkness has energy, it grows. Amen. The scriptures recognize five dimensions of darkness. There are two, there are five. A five dimensions. I have not written, but I think I can write this one. Do I have time? Alright, let me write this one. That's 1, 2, 3. The Lord Bible, he recognizes the nature of darkness. I should use a darker one. There is the nature of darkness. There is the forms or types of darkness. There are different types of darkness. Then there is the manifestation. Darkness. They have different Greek names. Then there is the. This is not clear enough. Alright. Then there is the manufacture or the all I call the industry of darkness. And then there is the energy of darkness. This one we know very well, Cyprus. Cyprus. It means energy. That's it, you know, when something is decaying, it, every day it becomes bad and badder and badder. That's this one, the engineers will know, it's called what? Egon. They translate it as the works of darkness. So this is the, so the Egon and the Sapros, they work together within the soul. This one is what they call Poneros. It's translated as wickedness or evil. This one they call it Ponus. And then the other one they call Kaken. Well, they are much like the same, but there are some slight differences. But I'm much more concerned about the last three. The manifestation. When they say something is bad, okay, so these are the different levels of the darkness. And when you look at it, you know the darkness will grow. So, gross darkness will come from darkness. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 to see something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth there, of course, from our own, what we have looked at, cannot just be the natural. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. They will tell everywhere that deep is speaking about the soul. Amen. But the good news is that the Spirit of God was doing what? Was moving over. So somebody cannot say, my situation is so evil, so dark, I cannot repent. It's not true. That where sin did abound, what happened?
Grace.
Much more abound. It's the same principle. You can find it. Amen. But look at verse 3. What does it say? And God said what?
Let there be light.
Hallelujah. So even where there is darkness, there can be light. We sang that song. Sometimes the light surprises a Christian while he prays. Amen. He says, it is the Lord that rises with healing in his wings. And I pray that he will arise in my soul today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There will be a rising up. Hallelujah. So, don't just stop at seeing darkness. You must also look. Wait. In fact, I think it's not Isaiah 50 that says, who is my servant who has no light? Can you show us Isaiah 50? Very quickly, quickly. Isaiah 50. Quickly, quickly. Verse 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We're running out of time. Verse 10. This is for me and you. Who is among you that what? Feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that does what?
Walketh
in darkness, and does what? Has no light. What should he do? Let him trust upon the name of the Lord his God. Let him stay upon God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, they shared the story. I saw it somewhere. He said someone went to the restaurant, went to a party. He sat in the front because he thought they would share food in the front. They sat from the back. He went to the back. They started from the front.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What is the lesson? Let us stay upon her God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not be like that man. He was following every wind of doctrine. Amen. The Bible says a double-minded man will do what? He's unstable in all his ways. Whether in the front, whether at the back, whether in the middle, you will only get two things. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You know? So, Malon, sorry, what's his name? Elimelech. Famine, he ran to Moab. You saw what happened? Amen. So he said, who is that man? Who is that man that is walking in darkness? You are pressing, you have not yet overcome. What should you do? Stay upon your God. Amen. Trust in the name of the Lord. There's a new song now. It says, I put my trust in him. All my trust I put in him. Amen. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall you have of my hand. There be sorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are looking at the sealing of the soul. The Bible calls it a beastly nature and all that. We won't talk much about it today. We'll maybe tomorrow or next we'll talk about it. But I was trying to show that the darkness that came into the soul will grow in the soul. And that is what the Bible refers to as the mark of the beast. The beastly nature. That word beast is used to show the nature of that spirit of darkness. So, if darkness is in the soul, spirits that need the darkness will come. And as they come, they will grow, they will increase and multiply. Amen. Can you show us Revelation 7? It says, after this I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. We know this is not north, west, east and south. This has to be the four realms of the soul. Okay, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. See, and I saw another angel ascending from the east. having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then he goes on. So, the scripture tells us that there is a sealing on the forehead. And we know the forehead is the mind. So there is a sealing of light. Light comes into our mind, into the forehead, to seal it. And from the scriptures we have read, we've seen that I cannot get all the sealing I want at a time. It has to be day by day, from one degree to degree. Paul says, from righteousness to righteousness, from glory to glory. Amen. Let's flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 13 first. Look at verse 14. It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, there is a covering, as a veil over the heart. So it tells us that there has to be a work of sealing. And if there is no sealing with the light, it means that the veil will increase based on what we have seen. So the darkness is rushing to seal the mind, and therefore we must hasten to redeem the mind. Say, redeem the days, redeem the time, for the days are evil. There must be a redemption, you know. Verse 16, nevertheless, when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil in the heart shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there be what? Deliverance, liberty, freedom, jubilee. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image completely. What does it say? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So there is a work of sealing within the soul, and that is how the light comes into the soul, and that is how God comes to dwell within the soul. Praise God. Now let's go to the last part of the message. Our time is gone. Now when Christ comes into the soul, he does it from glory to glory. There are three dimensions, there are three levels. Alright, we know the scripture. I couldn't find it. It says, I think somewhere in Mark, it says that when you plant the seed, it first brings the blade, then it brings the ear. Which one comes first? Is it the ear that comes first? It's a blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. That is for Brother Hubert and Brother Ayago. Do you understand that one? But you know, when you see the corn, it shoots something out. That's the blade, Abby. Then as it grows, then you see the ear, the thing starts coming out and the thing starts falling out. I think that's the ear. And then the corn comes fully. Amen. So he's saying, when life comes into the soul, it doesn't come fully and take over the soul. It comes degree by degree. Amen.
Amen.
So you can call it Pentecost, Passover, and Tabernacle. Okay? But you know it cannot be in that order, because there is a first order. The first order is Passover, Pentecost, and then Tabernacle. That's the fullness. So when Christ comes into the soul, that light that has come into the soul is a stranger into a hostile environment. Think about it. The darkness is already in the soul. And it says like a light that shines in a dark place. Is it not? So that light is under threat. It's like a word that comes and falls on the highway. That highway is the highway of the soul. Amen. And you see, if you don't have understanding, the devil comes and takes it away. Amen. So when we are born again, it is just a little light that has come into the soul. Colossians says, Christ in you. It's only a hope. You cannot, because the nature of that soul is not yet light. It's not yet Christ. For obvious reasons, because darkness has already overtaken, is already there. The man is born in sin. He said Jesus is the light that lighteneth the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So that means that that light of Christ must work hard in order to overpower the darkness. Amen.
Amen.
So there's no way I say I'm born again. I'm born again in name, but a lifestyle and walking in darkness. That is the summary of the modern Christian life. So you have a name that you are living, but in reality is what? Dead. Hallelujah. And someone say you are neither hot or cold. Light, the nature of light has not really formed in my soul. My soul has received light. True. This is my dear children, whom I travail in birth until what? Christ be formed. Until my soul, that means my mind must come to a point where it submits to Christ. Hallelujah. And that is a very big submission. Hallelujah. It's a peace offering. I say, I surrender. No more fight. Hallelujah. So the scripture tells us that there are three levels. So we have the Passover, Christ in the soul. In the soul. Amen. So we have the soul. Christ in the soul means blood has touched the soul. Huh? Blood has touched the soul. But the soul nature is very much darkness. Don't you understand? The soul nature is still poneros, wicked. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. Huh? That's it, poneros. Who can know it? So he says, I am going to go into the heart. I will take away the first covenant. Because the first covenant does not address the heart. It was in washing of pots, offerings, killing goats, do this. He said, look, this is not going to help our country. Because remember, God wants to take over the soul and dwell in the soul. Amen. So he had to design a new program. Say, I will make a new covenant. What will I do? I will go into the heart, the inward part. And I will do what? I will write my law. Amen. So that means this soul nature must be converted. And like we said, somebody can be born again, but the soul not converted. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
You're born again. You have the blood. The blood is on my soul. The blood speaks that this one has dedicated an intention to be a dwelling place of Jehovah. Amen. But God is righteous. He cannot dwell with evil. So that soul must become a cherubim, must change the nature and become the nature of Christ. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
So he says, I will go and put my law and convert the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So the soul must go beyond Passover and come into Pentecost. That means the soul must get help. It must receive help. Because the Spirit of God must come into the soul. Must come into the Spirit. So that the Spirit of God in your spirit begins to invade. And invade. Amen. But while that is going on, the darkness is invading it. We don't have time to deal with that today. Maybe tomorrow, I think we will talk more about it. To see the reality. That he says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. She was able to overcome. You know, so Christ in the soul comes in to convert the nature of the soul. Therefore, the soul must come into a third experience called tabernacle. And tabernacle means dwelling. This is where the soul becomes the dwelling place of God. In other words, there is a conversion. And when they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, the first part, they call it the blowing of trumpets. Second one, they call it atonement. And the third one, they call it ingathering. What is he saying in respect of the soul? What is he saying? There must be a trumpet blowing. I must be hearing the word. As I believe we are hearing now, to say, look, it's not just enough to have the Holy Spirit to say I'm born again. My soul needs to be changed. The soul nature, these living creatures must be converted. That is the feast of trumpets. And when we begin to submit to that word we are hearing, we come into that experience of atonement. And what do you do in the atonement? That we say we begin to afflict. We begin to afflict the soul. We don't pamper the soul. We bring affliction. And somebody says, I afflicted my soul by fasting. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes, that's one easy way to afflict the soul. There are other things that we need to do to bring affliction on the soul. But in summarizing, because we have to summarize, Christ wants to dwell in the soul. But while that is the intention of Christ, the devil also is working to take over the soul and make it his dwelling place. So there is a contention, there is a war. And you and I are in the middle. We must help. We must submit to God. We must work with God. We must mean business if we actually want to be the dwelling place of God. It is our inheritance to be that dwelling place. Let's end with Psalm 132. It says, I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place forever. This is God's call to us. Verse 13, I think. Okay. For the Lord had chosen Zion, he had desired it for his habitation. That's my call. But you see, it's a desire in God's mind. Not design and reality are a world different. Amen. God's desire for me is that I'll be his dwelling place. But for me to be God's dwelling place, I must be sealed. Amen. There must be a walk that will go on. And Bible says that the bride has made herself ready. The bride must make herself ready. I must fight the fight. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. How would you say that? Fight the good fight is not preaching, doing all those are good. But the good fight is the fight of the soul, to drive out darkness in my soul, to break the ceiling and get my soul converted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. So the night cometh when no man can walk. But then we need to say the same thing also. We must walk and we must find the good fight of faith while there is still time. Amen. The time cometh when no man can walk. Remember, the darkness within is growing. Every day, darkness in the world is growing. So you and I cannot go on holiday. We must walk to overcome the darkness within us, and we must walk to encourage others to also overcome the darkness within them. Amen. We must encourage one another to press on. And say, we are not of them that draw back, but we are of them who do what? Press on to the saving of the soul. Amen. And you can see the soul is saved when it is delivered from darkness, and the soul is saved when it is a beautiful garden, free from every darkness. They says, I and my Father will come and do what? Make our dwelling, make our abode. But our soul will become that fruitful garden, beautiful Eden, where God will dwell. Says, I've gone into my garden. I've gone to drink of my wine. I've gone to... That is the Shulamite. He wants to come to his garden. Say, return, return, O Shulamite. And we need to make that response, that God will help us to make that response. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I think it is time to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray then. We'll ask the questions. We'll just a quick time to pray and then we'll take the questions. Brother, can you come and lead us in a time of prayer, and then we'll take the questions. Praise God.
Maximize the word that has come to us in a prayer.